الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وكان الله عليما حليما سبحان ربك رب العزة أما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. The Arabic language is structured in a way that most words, the very vast majority of words, share a common root. And normally that root is three letters. So for example, there's a word in Arabic called tahammul. Tahammul. And its root is from ha, mim, lam, hamal. And there's another word similar to that, which means himl. Hamal means to bear something that can be seen. So hamal is used to carry something on your back from one place to another, to carry a burden, to bear something. Himl means to bear something, but that which is unseen. So himal refers to, for example, a woman who is pregnant and she's carrying the baby in her womb. So strictly speaking, the word used for that is himal, because she's carrying something that is unseen. Now, tahammul, like we did for you the other day, kibr and takabbur, we told you that when there's more letters, ziyadat al-huruf leads to shiddat al-mana. When there are more letters, it means more intensity in meaning. So from hamal you get tahammul, and from himal you can also get tahammul. So tahammul means the ability to bear a tremendous burden. Tahammul means the ability to have what we call forbearance. Tahammul is what insan claimed it had when it took this burden of Quran, that even the firmaments and the heavens and the earth and the mountains and the jibal and everything said, we don't have the tahammul to do hamal of this Quran. We don't have the ability to have the, can't bear this bearing, this weight of this Quran al-Kareem. So insan took this burden, but that means that if we want to be true to deen of Islam, true to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need to have tahammul. We need to have some capacity, some ability to bear both outward burdens and also inward burdens. So the person who has that ability, they have tahammul. Then another interesting thing in the Arabic language is sometimes when the root is the same, this is rare, this isn't always the case, and if you change the orders of the letters, they also have a relationship with them. So very simple example I will give you that all of you will understand. Ilm and amal. So three letters, ayn, lam, mim, ilm. I changed the lam to the end, put the mim in the middle. Ayn, mim, lam, amal. Ilm means knowledge. Amal means practice. But if you have ilm, you can do amal. If you have knowledge, you can practice. So actually, again, this is one of the incredible things. Maybe I'll just explain to you a little bit. Arabic is the only language created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every other language created by human beings. Every other language created by human beings. Even Aramaic, Syriac, ancient Greek, Hebrew, which the earlier scriptures were revealed in, Allah ta'ala chose as a favor to that community to reveal the scripture in the language they had created for themselves. But when it comes to our ummah and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam and our kitab, Quran al-Kareem, Allah Ta'ala revealed it Quran al-Arabiyya. Allah Ta'ala revealed it in the language that He had created Himself. So the Arabic language has a phenomenal nature to it. So we were talking about ilm and amal. So the person who has ilm can do amal. The person who has hilm can do hamal. The person who has hilm can do hamal. Hilm means, like I told you now, hilm and hamal. So hamal was what I was talking about, to be able to bear the burden, to lift the burden, to carry the burden. And hilm
is the ability to absorb, the capacity not to react to, in order to bear the burden of life. Now we're going to explain this whole thing, inshallah, in tonight's talk. So first thing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about Himself, وَكَانَ اللَّهُ أَلِيمًا حَلِيمًا. So Al-Halim, it's one of the names of Allah Ta'ala, means one of the attributes of Allah Ta'ala. What does it mean? That even though Allah Ta'ala has the ability and is well within His right to avenge and to punish us, He withholds. So Halim means Allah withholds. Allah Ta'ala has forbearance. He can bear our sins. He doesn't react. Otherwise Allah Ta'ala's might and majesty is such that the second we spoke a lie, He should have made us mute. The second we looked at something we shouldn't have, He should have made us blind. The second we listened to gossip or backbiting, He should have made us deaf. The second we used any limb of our body for sin, He should have paralyzed us right there. That was the azmat of Allah Ta'ala. That would have been adl. He is dhu intiqam. But He is also alim. So He withholds. In fancying us, they call this forbearance. Allah Ta'ala is al-halim. And this is also one attribute, like we explained to you today in the Jummah Bayan, the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, تَخَلَّقُوا بِخُلُقِ اللَّهِ or تَخَلَّقُوا بِأَخْلَاقِ اللَّهِ is adorn yourself with certain of the attributes of Allah Ta'ala. One of them is Allah Ta'ala is Halim. We should also have ilm. We should also be able to absorb and not react. We should be able to have forbearance and not react. We should be able to bear with and accommodate and ultimately even tolerate and ultimately even forgive other people. That is called Hilm. Because Allah is Al-Halim for a reason. He's Al-Halim so that He can become Al-Rahim. He's Al-Halim so He can become Al-Ghafoor. Means He withholds His punishment for our sins so that later on at any time in our life when we turn to Him seeking forgiveness and in repentance, Allah Ta'ala can then manifest His rahmah, His maghfirah, His mercy and forgiveness on us. So He's withholding His punishment in order to bestow His forgiveness later. So He's Halim. So it means the ultimate end of a person who has Hilm is also that they will ultimately end up forgiving and overlooking and forgiving the other person. Now but what does Allah Ta'ala say about Himself? وَكَانَ اللَّهُ أَلِيمًا حَلِيمًا. So this is also beautiful. This is another science of tafsir, or you can even say it's a science of the tafsir and tasawwuf mixed. The pairing of the Asma'ul Husna in Quran. So here Allah Ta'ala is saying, first He's Alim. What does it mean? Even though Allah Ta'ala knows every single thing about you, still He withholds His punishment. It means Allah Ta'ala could see when you were king of the sin. Allah Ta'ala could see when you were deciding, should I do it or should I not do it. Allah Ta'ala could see you choose the sin over your guilt. Allah Ta'ala could see it when you slightly remembered Him, but you chose to put that thought away so you could still go for the sin. Then Allah Ta'ala saw you make the niyat of the sin. Then Allah Ta'ala saw you set forth out to commit that sin. Then Allah Ta'ala saw you commit the sin. Then Allah Ta'ala saw you get the pleasure and benefit of that sin. Then Allah Ta'ala saw you linger in that pleasure and benefit of sin. Then Allah Ta'ala saw you fail to make istighfar and tawbah to Him promptly. He is aliman. He saw all of that, yet He is halima. Still He is going to withhold His punishment on you. Allahu Akbar. So it means if we want to be halim like Allah Ta'ala is, in the sense that we are asked to be, we can never be like Allah Ta'ala is, but to have some reflection of that is also the same way. Means that it's not that I can tolerate people when I don't know what they say about me. No, aliman halima. I know what they're doing and you have to still be nice to them. You know what they're plotting and you can still tolerate them. You know how they betrayed you and you're still kind to them. That's the way we have to pattern ourselves against Allah along the way that Allah Ta'ala wants us to be. Allahu Akbar Kabira. It's not easy. But Allah Ta'ala made it easy for us by sending a model. His name is Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our mashayikh, they say in Urdu, Allah Ta'ala ne ek roshan kitab zindagi dunya mein bheja aur ek roshan dil dunya mein bheja. Allah Ta'ala sent, it means in English, Allah Ta'ala sent a beautiful illuminated book, Quran al-Kareem, and He sent a beautiful illuminated heart, the heart of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we could learn how to live that book by following His heart. Yes, you can't live the book without following His heart. And if you follow His heart, you'll ultimately end up living the book. So this is the model that the Prophet ﷺ taught us, how to be like this. So this is a beautiful example, a beautiful combination in Quran al-Kareem of these two Asma al-Husna, Aliman Halima. So Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala used to say, now taking it from the other angle, that the beauty of ilm is with hilm. Means that the sign and mark of the ulama haq, the real ulama, is that they have hilm. They can get along. This that we hear now, some ulama can't get along. The sign of ulama is that they have hilm. The people of ilm must be people of hilm. This is the sifat of ilm, that it automatically should bring. True ilm brings hilm. Aliman Halima. Now the Deen of Islam is so beautiful. Now watch how Allah Ta'ala in Quran al-Kareem is going to teach us how to have this ilm. Hilm. How to have this forbearance, how to have this patience, how to have this overlooking, pardoning nature. Allah Ta'ala says in Quran, اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنْ. That okay, if anybody does anything bad to you, idfa. Those of you in Urdu, dafa. It means retaliate. Repel that evil with what? With what is good, with what is noble, with what is ahsan, which is what is even better or best. Allahu Akbar. فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنُهُ أَدَاوَةٌ. If you do that, if somebody does some bad deed to you, and you return it with good, that which is better, then that person, Allah Ta'ala is saying, that person, that between you and them, there was actually mutual enmity. There was mutual enmity between you and him. What will happen? كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. He will become your wali. He will become such an intimate, dear friend to you. What? He will become as if he is close friend to you. By Allah, this person did something terrible to me. Yes. We have enmity for each other in our heart. Yes. But what should you do? اِتْفَى بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. You should respond in a better way. That enmity will go away. His opposition to you will go away. He will become your wali. Look at the word Allah Ta'ala is choosing. You could have used another word, rafiq. That's also a word that's in God. He could be your friend. No, your wali. And not just wali, your hamim. Your near, close, best friend. This is Quran. I mean, your mind, still some of you are thinking, how is that going to happen? It's Quran. It's Quran. It's Allah Ta'ala's statement in Quran. We are not practicing this. We don't do this. We don't do this at all. Instead, what do we do? The best of us, if we don't take a counter-offensive strategy, You understand counter-offensive strategy? What they say, he threw rocks and I can't remember, he threw sticks and I threw bricks, Many of us are like that, right? Oh, he said that? Give me the phone. Allahu Akbar. Yes, what does it mean? He said one sentence, I'll tell him 10. He told 5 people, I'll tell him 20. Oh, he said that, but I know something about him. Oh, he exposed that fault about me. You know what I know about him? Allahu Akbar. Most of us launch the counter-offensive. The best of us, we launch a defensive strategy. We don't go back with ahsan. We plan our defense, strategic defense. We go into... That's not infallibility here, ahsan. That doesn't like that. Allah Ta'ala is saying, Ajeeb, look at Allah Ta'ala saying us in Quran. To come back with love, to come back with kindness, to come back with nobility. Now maybe that person is beyond your reach. Maybe they won't come in front of you. Maybe they won't respond to your kindness. But it's not just, it can also be dua. It can also be turning to Allah Ta'ala. It means that person says bad things about you to makhluk, you go say good things about him to khaliq. Yes, he says bad things about you to makhluk, you go pray for good things for him from the khaliq. That can be the meaning of this ayah. اِدْفَى بِاللَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. Allahu Akbar. We don't realize the power of deen. We are stuck in these enmities, in these quarrels, in these arguments, not because all of us are bad. In fact, it's rare that that happens. My own experience and the people who come to me with problems, they're both mu'mineen, alhamdulillah. They're both musalleen, alhamdulillah. They're both sa'imeen, alhamdulillah. Sometimes they're both sahibi sunnah, alhamdulillah. What's wrong then? They're both good people. Why can't they get along? Because they're not following the teachings of how to get along. Always remember, no matter how good you may be in your ibadah, if you leave the hidayah of Allah Ta'ala as to how to behave and intermingle and live with other ibad, your goodness is not going to be a substitute for the hidayah of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala is saying this is what we have to do. We don't do this, we won't be able to get along. There's no alternate to Qur'an. There's no detour around Qur'an. The only way we can remove this mutual enmity, and the enmities and the ill will can turn into close friendships, is only ways if we do this, اِتْفَى بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. We must follow the hidayah that Allah has given us in Qur'an. This is why they say that sometimes the mashayikh, they give example of what we call sandal. You can call it sandalwood, that it's actually just a tree, but the woodcutter who cuts that sandalwood, even his hand gets the fragrance of the sandalwood. Now what does it mean? What is he doing to the wood? He's not doing a nice thing to it. He's cutting it. He's taking an axe on it. Huh? What is the wood doing? Itfa. Itfa billati hiya ahsan. The wood is not cutting him back. The wood is giving its sweet fragrance to him. Hmm? The wood is giving the sweet fragrance to the woodcutter who is taking an axe to the wood. This is what the mashayikh said. This is an example in nature of this. Allahu Akbar Kabira. And you can see so many more examples of this in the natural world. Another example people give is you pluck a rose. It means you killed it. Because when you took it out of the land, you kill it. That's what you do. You kill the rose. What does it give you in return? Okay, let's say you even take its petal off of it. It will leave its fragrance on your hand. So you were mean to the rose, and the rose returned kindly with you and let you get its fragrance. So itfa billati hiya ahsan. Even the plant kingdom is able to do this. Even the wood and the flowers are able to do this. Oh insan, we are supposed to be ashraf al-makhlukat. We are supposed to be the most noble and best of creation on earth. And on top of it, Allah Ta'ala gave us hidayah in Qur'an. We're insan and mu'min. We're the believers. And we're not able to be like this with one another. It's reported in the Injil, but some of the ulama, they would take some stories from Injil that were completely compatible with the deen of Islam. That once a person was actually cursing Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was silent. He didn't respond at all. He didn't respond at all. You may have heard this. I may just explain to you in English. That in the Sharia of Musa alayhi salam, it was called an eye for an eye. Allahu Akbar. And the Sharia of Musa alayhi salam was an eye for an eye. You understand? Tit for tat. And the Sharia of Isa alayhi salam was what? Turn the other cheek. Turn the other cheek. And the Sharia of Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi salam, itfa billati hiya ahsan. The person slaps your cheek, you don't turn the other cheek. The person slaps your cheek, you kiss their cheek. Yeah, Allahu Akbar. Sayyid Musa alayhi salam, he slaps your cheek, you can slap his cheek exactly only the way he slapped you, nothing more. Yes, Sayyid Isa alayhi salam, he slaps your cheek, turn the other cheek. Sayyid of our Nabiyyana wa Sayyidina wa Rasulina Sayyidina Mustafa sallallahu alayhi salam, he slaps your cheek, kiss his cheek. Allahu Akbar. Ajeeb. Look at the akhlaq of our deen. How many of us are like that? How many of us are like that? This is the teaching of our Sharia. Why? Because the whole deen is teaching us you have to remove evil through good. You remove impurity through purity. If you have something dirty on your clothing, you can't wash it with urine. You can't remove impurity through impurity. You have something impure in your clothing, you have to wash it with water. The only way to get rid of impurity is to use purity. The way to get rid of evil is to use good. The way to get rid of enmity is offer friendship. It's strange. It's difficult to do. I accept it. In the beginning, still, some of us are like, no, this one I'm not going to practice. Tonight's bayan is not for me. Many of you come and say, oh, that bayan was for me. Some of you are thinking, oh, this bayan is not for me. It's for us. It's for everyone. It's Quran al-Kareem. We are struggling because of this. We are struggling and failing to get the complete mercy of Allah Ta'ala because of this. Because we're stuck in quarrels with makhluk. So Allah Ta'ala will keep us stuck in our nafs and with shaitan. It's when we get ourselves unstuck with the quarrels of makhluk, then Allah Ta'ala will send His complete mercy on us. Then you will see how easy it is to leave sin. Especially if you say, I don't understand, I fast, I pray, I went for umrah, I send it take off and I'm still sinning. Many times in the diagonal, you're stuck somewhere. You're stuck somewhere. Alhamdulillah, you were good, you did pray, you did make dua, you cried in tawbah, you went for tawaf, you did all of that. But you're stuck somewhere with someone. You have some quarrel with someone. You have some argument with someone. You're living with enmity and hostility or even hatred with someone. You're stuck somewhere. Until you get yourself unstuck, you won't be able to fly completely. Don't you see the bird, if there are 100 ropes tying him down, If I untie 50 ropes, he can't fly. If I untie 80 ropes, he can't fly. If I untie 90 ropes, he can't fly. Even if I untie 99 out of 100 ropes, he still can't fly. That one last rope is enough to keep him grounded. For some of us, alhamdulillah, we untied some ropes in these 7-8 days. We made tawbah to a lot of different things. But for some of us, there's this one rope is still tying us down. Is our lack of tahammul, our lack of hilm, our quarrels and arguments and hostilities and resentments with our fellow mu'mineen or mu'minat. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran, وَالَّذِينَ sabaru, that those who have sabr, what does it mean? That same hilm, that same tahammul, they bear with other people. Why? إِبْتِغَاءَ وَجْهِ رَبِّهِمْ, because they're seeking the pleasure of their Rabb. They know that it means Allah is also saying to us, it won't be pleasurable to you. You're not going to do it for your own pleasure. You're going to do it because you're going to think Allah is going to be pleased with me. That's a greater pleasure. Some of us, our pleasure may lie in reacting. No, but the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala lies in that we don't react. Allah Ta'ala's pleasure is that we retaliate or we return with what is ahsan. Khair, then they offer the salah and they spend from that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them secretly and openly. وَيَدْرَؤُونَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ السَّيِّئَةِ. What does that mean? That they repel a sayyi'ah with hasana. They repel evil with good deeds. أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ أُقْبَ الدَّارِ. They will have the ultimate abode, which means they have the ultimate blessing, fawz, surur from Allah Ta'ala. They will get darul akhirah, means jannatul firdaus. They will have the ultimate abode. Because they, whenever a sayyi'ah happens, they return it with hasana. One meaning of this is when they wipe away their sins by doing good deeds. But Mufassirun have also written, this includes hukuk al-ibad, when anybody does a sayyi'ah to them, they try to do hasana back. Idfa billati hiya ahsan. They practice it. They practice it. Now, if there is a situation that a person wants, that no, look, if I was harmed, so then Allah Ta'ala allowed that every now and then there may be a situation where to prevent the fitna, to prevent the harm, you do have to defend yourself. There are a few situations like that, right? And if you don't, then actually others might even be harmed, right? Others might be harmed, such as, for example, criminal law is about that. Okay, look, if I forgive the person, but he might do it to somebody else. If some person cheated me, I forgive them, but he could go cheat somebody else, right? He could harm somebody else. He could hurt somebody else. So then what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explain in Quran? Allah ta'ala says in Quran, وَإِنْ عَاقَبْتُمْ فَعَاقِبُوا بِمِثْلَ مَا أُوكِبْتُمْ بِهِ. If you feel the need to take measures against them, then you should only take measures exactly to the extent that they took measures against you. So if every now and then you can follow the sharia of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. However, وَلَا إِن سَبَرْتُمْ. However, even then, even when Allah Ta'ala is saying, even when I, Allah in Quran, give you this right, that sometimes there may be situations that you can take measures against them, only to the extent they took measures against you, still Allah Ta'ala says in Quran, وَلَا إِن سَبَرْتُمْ. That if you could opt for patience, لَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لِلصَّابِرِينَ, then indeed the path of sabr is better for the people of sabr. And Allah Ta'ala wants us to become sabirin. So it means even in this case Allah Ta'ala is saying the higher level is to adopt sabr, is to withhold, means don't take any measures back against those who took some measures against you. Allahu Akbar Kabira. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also beautifully explained to us, huh? We have the beautiful explanations of Allah Ta'ala in Quran and the beautiful example of those explanations by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Sunnah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to make it even more. 3, 4, 5 times the word sabr is going to come. Wasbir wa ma sabruku illa billah. Wasbir, and have sabr. Why? Because know that your sabr is not, your sabr is bestowed upon you by none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if Allah ta'ala gives us that gift of sabr, then we should do it. وَلَا تَحْزَنْ عَلَيْهِمْ. That don't feel any sorrow or worry over it or over them. وَلَا تَكُفِي ذَيْكِمْ مِمَّا يَمْكُرُونَ. And don't worry at all, or don't be in distress over their makr, over what they're devising and plotting. You think Allah is painting a scene here, that they're still plotting and scheming against us. Allah is saying, don't worry, just have sabr with me. Once you have sabr with me, you do not need to worry and distress anymore about what they may be plotting, scheming, conniving, secretly, publicly, whatever they're doing. You don't have to worry about it anymore. This is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it makes our life easier, right? It's much more difficult to try to use strategy and to think, okay, let me find out, send my information network, what are they saying, what are they doing, let me see, what can I say, what can I do, then you do it, then you try to track how they responded to what I've said and I'm doing, now what are they counter doing, now what am I going to counter do? It's a very difficult way. It's difficult and also unsuccessful. And this is easy, and this is Allah Ta'ala's promise of success. Allahu Akbar. Just to have sabr. And Allah Ta'ala is the best of planners. It doesn't mean that the people will stop talking. That's what Allah is saying. Their makr will continue. Their chattering, muttering, maligning, backbiting, slandering will continue. Their hasad will continue. But you will be protected from it. You will be protected from it. It doesn't mean it will stop. You will be protected from it. And if you use your strategy, it still won't stop, but you won't be protected from it. That's the only difference. Either way, it's not going to stop. You do sabr, you will be protected from it. You don't do sabr, you try to counter it, you won't be protected from it. You won't be protected from it. Allahu Akbar. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us in Quran al-Kareem. Listen to it again. وَلَا تَحْزَنْ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا تَكُفِي ذَيْكِمْ مِمَّا يَمْكُرُونَ. Don't worry at all about what they're doing. Don't feel any sorrow. And don't feel threatened in any zayk. Don't feel threatened or tightened by the planning and conniving that they're doing. Now let's look. Now we saw these verses of Quran al-Kareem. Oh sorry, and then the end is, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَا الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مُفْسِدُونَ. And indeed Allah Ta'ala will be with the people who have taqwa, who take this higher path. Normally taqwa is used for our relationship with Allah Ta'ala. Here's also Allah Ta'ala using taqwa that you took this higher path of sabr. You didn't take measures back against them. You chose the path of sabr, chose to be amongst the sabreen. So now Allah Ta'ala is making it crystal clear. Ya Allah, why shouldn't I worry about their makr? Why shouldn't I worry about their planning? Allah Ta'ala is saying, because by adopting the higher path, you are now alladhina taqaw, and Allah Ta'ala will be with you. You will get the mayyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, walladhina hum muhsinun, and you are now a person of ihsan, you are from the muhsinun, and Allah Ta'ala is with you. And elsewhere Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, yuhibbul muttaqeen. Elsewhere he said, yuhibbul muhsineen. So this person becomes the mahbub of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, gets the ma'iyat of Allah Ta'ala, gets the mahbubiyah, feels the intimate near companionship with Allah Ta'ala, and becomes the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, if we really understood these ayahs, and it's very difficult for me or you to do what I'm about to say, but if you really understood these ayahs, we would actually celebrate the moment somebody displayed enmity for us. It's, I was just waiting for this so I could do this. Oh, you're my friend. I was waiting. When am I going to chance to do amal on this verses in Surah Nahl that I could do the sabr, I could not take measures, I could get the might of Allah Ta'ala, that Allah Ta'ala will protect me. Oh, you have given me this gift of your envy and enmity. Now I will get the gift of Allah Ta'ala's ma'iyat and muhabbat. But it's very difficult. In real time, the best of us, sometimes we panic, because it hurts. People are emotional creatures. It hurts if somebody is against you. It hurts if somebody is maligning you. It hurts. It's a natural feeling. So that's why you have to keep going back to Quran al-Kareem. Keep going back to the Sunnah of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Keep reminding. One reminder isn't enough. One talk on hilm and tahammul isn't enough. You have to keep returning to this. Keep returning to this. That's why it's so beneficial to have ilm of deen. And may Allah Ta'ala give all of us who have that ilm and all the ulama this hidayah as well. The benefit of having ilm is that you can call out this up. The people who don't have ilm, they don't know. The masses, when they're in a situation, they don't know these verses. They can't call the file up, right? They can't take solace from this. They can't read this. They don't remember it. They don't even know it, some of them. Right? So anyway, we wanted to give you that knowledge tonight. So take this in your heart. Keep it with you. Listen to it again. Read these verses. Write those verses. Write them with your own hand if you want to. Even no matter how your script would be. Keep it in your pocket. Whenever anything happens, take it out. Read it. Write it in English, no problem. Read it in English. Read it in whatever language you know. Try to keep it with you, these guidance, so you can call it up whenever you need it. Because we'll need it. Everyone in this life is going to be tested with some type of hostility, some type of enmity. And that's why Allah Ta'ala gave us His hidayah and guidance in Qur'an. So now that we saw the guidance from Qur'an al-Kareem, now let us look at the second thing we said. What was that? The beautiful book and the beautiful heart. So the beautiful heart is Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So let's look at the tahammul and hilm from the life of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Qazi Ayaz al-Maliki rahmatullahi was a great alim of deen. He's written a wonderful book called Ash-Shifa. And this book was written in Arabic, has been translated in Urdu, and has been translated in at least 3 translations I have seen in English. So there's no reason why you shouldn't read it. And it's one of the most beautiful expressions of love for Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wonderful book. And he writes something in there that is beautiful. He says that the hilm and tahammul of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam means the patience, forbearance, right, of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam increased more and more as his enemies used to oppose and persecute him more and more. His hilm and tahammul would just go up. They would increase their hostility, his hilm would go up. They would increase their enmity, his tahammul would go up. This is the sunnah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the way he escalated. They would escalate their violence and opposition and hostility. He would escalate his hilm and he would escalate his tahammul accordingly. Listen now to the stories from the seerah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. First is the tahammul of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with those who were under his care. Because this is something we need to learn. How we treat our family, spouse, children, attendants, employees, household staff. So first, one hadith, Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu reported. This is a hadith in the Sahih Bukhari. What? The summary of this is that he says that in 10 years that he was in the khidmat of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Nabiya Kareem never even once rebuked him. He has never once lost his patience with him. Never once did he slight him. First, but he says a beautiful thing. I never felt any piece of velvet or silk softer than the palm of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allahu Akbar. He's working up to it, huh? I never ever felt any piece of velvet or silk as soft as the palm of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nor did I ever smell any fragrance more sweet and delightful than the natural fragrance of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then he says, and I was his attendant for 10 years, and he never even said oof to me. Means he never even got flabbergasted with me. He never even said oof. He never said anything like that. Allahu Akbar Kabira. Ajib. He never said, why did you do that for something I had done? Nor did he ever say, why did you not do that for something I had not done? 10 years. 10 years companionship. How many of our children can say that about us? How many of our spouses can say that about us? How many of our household staff can say that about us? How many of our employees can say that about us? That he never lost a temper, he never even said a word to me. This is the sunnah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It doesn't mean that about the point that Sayyidina Anas ibn Malik make, he must have made some small mistakes along the way. He's not trying to say he was perfect. He's trying to show that despite his imperfection, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remained perfectly haleem with him throughout. This is the sunnah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Understand that there's nothing special in being able to get along with people who are perfect. You don't even need guidance for that. The guidance in deen is exactly how to get along with people who are imperfect. We are all imperfect. The question is how to manage the relationship with somebody who is imperfect and somebody who is flawed. That's why we need the teachings of deen. That's why we need the teachings of deen. Then, once there was a young sahabi who was caught by another sahabi from the Ansar. Now what happened was that this Ansar, he had groves and groves, orchards of date palm trees. And this young Sahabi had been eating dates from the trees without the permission of the Ansari Sahabi. Allahu Akbar. Young man. So, he was caught, and so that Ansari Sahabi, he was upset, so he took that young boy to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So that young boy says, I was scared that he's taking me to Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Right? For just eating dates. He's taking me, dragging me to the principal's office. Huh? Taking me to Sayyidina Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for eating dates. So the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he met him, he stroked his head. It was a young boy. Stroked his head. Then he asked him affectionately, that why were you doing this? So then he told Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that he only ate the dates due to his extreme hunger. Allahu Akbar. This is the hunger of the youth, hunger of the children at the time of the seer of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allahu Akbar. So when he told the Prophet that, then Sayyidina Rasulullah told him, okay, you're only allowed to eat the dates that have fallen from the tree. You can't go and pluck the dates off the tree. And then after that, right there, and then he made dua for that young Sahabi. That Ya Allah, Ya Rabbi Kareem, remove his poverty and remove his hunger. That Sahabi then narrates this all himself and says, after that day I never ever even picked up any dates, and after that day I never had poverty and hunger again. Look at the hilm of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Softly, gently, sweetly explaining to people. Softly, gently, sweetly guiding people. This is how we should be with our children. Right? This is how we should be with our children. So what we have done today, and I explained this earlier also, we try to camouflage our lack of hilm by saying it's my temperament. And it's a common thing in Indian culture to say about someone, he's Jalali. I covered this for you before. So those who don't know Indian culture, and may Allah save you from this, that this aspect of it, that somebody can be called Jalali as an excuse. Jalal, you should know, is one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It refers to Allah Ta'ala's majesty. It refers to Allah Ta'ala's right to manifest and deal with anyone if He so chooses, according to His Jalal, not His Jamal, according to His wrath, not His mercy, according to His Azmat, not His Rahmat. This is Allah Ta'ala's right. It's not me and you's right like that. We can't think like that. Then no, it's my right also. I'm a person of strong, or I'm well off, or I'm the senior, or I'm the elder, or I'm this, or I'm that. So I have the position, I have the authority. No. We shouldn't think like that. We are bound by the sunnah. We are bound to have hilm. We are bound to have this tahammul, no matter what position or authority or status or stature or wealth or degree or education we may have. This is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has this right, that He can invoke His Jalal. And may Allah ta'ala save all of us from that. If Allah ta'ala was ever to invoke our Jalal on us, Ajib Imam Rabbani Atai wrote a strange thing, that if Allah ta'ala chooses to manifest only, now inshallah ta'ala this won't happen, but he wrote that if, were, hypothetically, Allah ta'ala only to manifest His Jalal on the Day of Judgment, every single human being would go to the fire of Jahannam. Yes, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar Kabira. So we shouldn't think like that. That we can do that. So this was the first thing of the tahammul of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, those who were under his care, be it children or attendants. Then a second thing is tahammul with the spouse, to be kind, loving, forbearing, gentle, forgiving, pardoning, non-reacting with one's spouse. So Ummu Mu'mineen Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha narrates. Here, this is another chapter of Seerah, but she says that sometimes when I would get angry, she was younger, and this was her nature. So she said, sometimes when I would get worked up, maybe I put it for you that way, sometimes when I would get worked up with the Prophet ﷺ, he would just look at me and smile and say, oh my little Aisha, oh my Humaira. He would just smile it away. And he would just smile at me and laugh at me, and my anger would go away. Allahu Akbar. Then she says, she narrates that once her and Nabi Kareem ﷺ were having a discussion. Let's call it a discussion. And then Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq happened to visit, because that was his daughter and this was his beloved Prophet, so he used to visit. So the Prophet asked him that, yo Abu Bakr, this is your daughter. I'm your son-in-law. Ajib Rishta. Huh? This is your daughter. Technically I'm your son-in-law. So you mediate between us. So you mislead. The Prophet asked him to mediate. So Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq asked Ummu Mu'mineen Sayyidina Aisha, okay, would you like to tell me, would you like first to tell me what happened? Or should Nabiya Kareem first tell me what happened? So a woman Aisha, because she was worked up, she said, he can tell you first what happened, but he better speak the truth. So when she said that, literally, so when she said that, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq gave her a slap. Because he loved his Prophet, and because how could you say that? He better speak the truth, right? And because she was speaking as a wife at this moment. What can I do? She was speaking as a wife at this moment, not as the, as a, not only, she was a believer, but she wasn't looking at the Prophet in this heated moment just as a Nabi. Obviously, a woman Aisha would never ever, never ever in her farthest imagination imagine that Nabiya Kareem could say anything but the truth. But this was a moment, right? So because she said that, the Sayyidina Abu Bakr Singh, he gave her a slap. And when he gave her a slap, Sayyidina Aisha, she ran behind the Prophet ﷺ, and she hid behind him to protect herself from the father. So then Sayyidina, the Prophet ﷺ said, Ya Abu Bakr, I ask you to mediate between us, not to punish one of us. You can go. And then Sayyidina Abu said, my father, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Singh, left. And the Prophet ﷺ turned to me, because she was hiding behind him. He turned to me and said, see my little Aisha, how I protected you. Means he won, that's it, the fight is, the argument was finished. So he softened her up, he just smiled at her. Said, look how I, it is me who is protecting you from your father. See how I saved you from your father. Nabiya Kareem had a lot of love for Ummul Mu'mineen Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha. Ajeeb. Shafqat. But more on that, inshallah, when we do this weekend marriage course, which, Lord, where you so desperately need. And it's not really my favorite topic either. This really is, this is one of those things that we do just for you. Right? But this is such an issue for people. It's such an issue, the marriage issue. So I remind you again, Saturday and Sunday we want you here both. Saturday 11 a.m, inshallah, that means tomorrow, 11 a.m, the men will be here, women in ZMS. And Sunday after Zuhr, again the men will be here and the women will listen on receiver wherever they are, wherever they happen to be. Alright? So that will be, inshallah, we will try our best to cheer with you. Alhamdulillah, our own Shaykh has given a lot of talk, Allahu Akbar, a lot of talks on marriage relations. Third, and this is the most ajeeb thing, one is to have tahammul with one's own, right? Children, staff, spouse. This is Nabiya Kareem Sassam's tahammul and hilm with enemies. Now, the explanation of those verses that we did. So let us look at some incidents from Sirah, from the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Number one, all of you know that when he went to Taif, now what was going on when he went to Taif? What happened was that for a number of years, he was making dawah on the people of Makkah Mukarramah, because he thought, okay, my own Quraysh, my own people, my own city. And vast majority of them disbelieved. Initially, the vast majority of them refused to believe. And the vast majority of the youth of Makkah Mukarramah refused to believe. And then the vast majority of the youth and the people of Quraysh and Makkah Mukarramah started opposing the Prophet ﷺ, slandering the Prophet ﷺ, trying to prevent other people from believing in the Prophet ﷺ. Then if anybody still managed to believe, they would try to torture the people who believed in the Prophet ﷺ. They would try to oppress the people who believed in the Prophet ﷺ. So Nabi Kareem ﷺ was in a state of complete persecution and oppression. Then it occurred to him, okay, I have another family. I have another people. Because I was wet nursed in Taif. Maybe I'll go to them. And if for some reason Ahle Makkah, Ahle Quraysh aren't honoring this family bond I have with them, maybe the people of Taif will honor the family bond I have with them. So he set for and he went to Taif. According to some narrations, he went alone. According to some narrations, he went with one Sahabi as a khadim. Alhamdulillah, we had the opportunity to make this journey, which if you go by car now, it's very short. But in the car you see, it's this winding, uphill type of journey. One can only imagine, and Allah, I don't know if Nabiya Kareem went with the camel or he went on foot, but either way it's a tremendous journey to make. Now he goes all the way to Taif, with one hope, right? That they will take iman in Allah Ta'ala and me as a prophet. What happens? He goes to Taif, and not a single one person in Taif accepts iman, not one. There's something that will happen on the way back, but at Taif itself, not one. Allahu Akbar. Now can you imagine, he came with that sorrow. Now just imagine, put yourself in the heart of the Prophet ﷺ. What do you think he was thinking about all the way from Makkah Mukarramah to Taif? He must have felt sorrow that, Ya Allah, you've given me this mission of Nabuwa. My own people, my own city aren't accepting. Now I'm going there with such a hope. Can you imagine the tremendous hope with which Nabi Akram went to Taif? And then the result is not a single person, man, woman, elderly, young, accepted Iman. And then all of you know that not just that, again, after such a long journey, to be faced with persecution, and then to be run out of town, to have stones thrown upon you, to be wounded. Allahu Akbar Kabira. But what happened? And Ummul Mu'mineen Sayyidah Aisha, when she narrates, that she asked the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which was the most difficult day of your life? And he told her, the day I was in Taif. But all of you know what happened on that day. Look at the tahammul and hilm. The angels came. Even the angels didn't have tahammul and hilm at this. Because they were also lovers of Nabi Kareem Sallam. They're also sahabi. They're also mu'mineen. So they went to the Prophet Sallam and said, we can make the mountains crash down on these people. Nabi Kareem Sallam said, no. No, I just want to make dua for them. That may Allah Ta'ala send His hidayah on them. If they're not accepting Iman on me, maybe in the future, someone from their later generations will accept Iman. And yes, Allah Ta'ala raised up many such people. One such person, his name was Muhammad bin Qasim Rahimullah Ta'ala. And he was that person from the descendants of Taif who brought Islam to all of the Indian subcontinent. Allahu Akbar. This was the dua, tahammul, hilm of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Then when Nabi Akram went forth in the battle at Uhud, and this was the nature of the Prophet ﷺ, he wouldn't just command from behind the scenes. He went forth with the Sahaba Ikram. So when he was at Uhud, and then he lost a couple of his teeth in the battle of Uhud. He was wounded at Uhud in such a way that he lost a couple of his teeth. So one Sahabi, when he saw this, he couldn't take it. So he asked Nabi Karim, said, Ya Nabi Karim, make dua that Allah Ta'ala send his adab on these unbelievers. Nabi Karim said, no. O companion, I haven't been sent to curse. I haven't been sent to curse. I've been sent to pray for them. And he raised his hands and made dua for the hidayah of those people. And a lot of the kuffar who came, especially on Uhud, and who was the greatest general on the other side at Uhud, due to his master strategy, you can attribute it to that in a sense, due to his master strategy, they were successfully able to wound the Prophet ﷺ and have him lose his two teeth. His name was Khalid ibn Walid. And Nabi Akram could have cursed, because if the curse would have come, it would have come on the master strategist. But instead he made dua for Hidayah, and all of you know, then later, after Uhud, Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu accepted Iman, made Tawbah from what he did at Uhud, and became one of the greatest Sahaba Ikram ever. Such that we just take his name, and it makes us, our heart yearn with love. And we have erased in our heart and memory anything and everything he did at Uhud. Complete Kamil Tawbah in the minds and hearts of the creation, and also in the record of the Creator. This was the dua of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This is the dua of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Then when Nabi Akram migrated to Medina Munawwara, so the leader of Yamama, Thamam ibn Athal radiallahu anhu, came to him and accepted Iman. Then when he returned to his people, he was a person who had a lot of wheat. He refused to sell wheat to the Quraysh of Mecca, because they were against his, he just took Iman. So he says, you people are against my Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I refuse to sell wheat to you. So there was a shortage of wheat. Then the Quraysh, Kufar of Quraysh from Makkah Mukarramah, sent a delegation to Medina Munawwara to Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, asking him, please ask your believer follower Thamama to sell us wheat, even though these were the same people who had persecuted the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and Sahaba for 13 years. Still Nabi Akram, he called Thamama and said, you sell them wheat. Don't react. Don't react. You sell them the wheat. Allahu Akbar Kabira. So much hilm, so much tahammul. Then when Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha, when she was the daughter of the Prophet ﷺ, and she wanted to migrate from Makkah Mukarramah to Medina Munawwara, so she couldn't go with the first contingent, because at that point her husband had not yet accepted Islam, so he didn't let her initially. Later on, it's a long story, but eventually she managed to come. And when she was coming, the kuffar found out, and when the kuffar found out, they attacked her. They struck down her camel, and she was pregnant at that time, and she fell in such a hard way that led to her miscarriage. What does it mean? It led to the miscarriage of the potential grandchild of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This is a big thing for any person, right? So somebody attacks your daughter, look for the father. how an unforgivable crime this is, that anybody attacks my daughter and causes my pregnant daughter to have a miscarriage on top of that. Can you imagine? So this was Habar ibn Aswad, who was the person who had struck her camel down. So then she traveled at night to Medina Munawwara in that state. The men you can't understand, the women may be able to understand. Can you imagine traveling on this bumpy camel ride from Makkah Mukarramah to Medina Munawwarah? I read one narration that Imam Shafi made the journey by camel in 16 days and nights. Can you imagine then a woman having just suffered from a miscarriage and that physical pain traveling 16 days and nights from Makkah Mukarramah to Medina Munawwarah? And many of the ulama say that eventually when she passed away because of the severe hardship of this journey basically finished her health. So here, what happened? That same, after Fatih Makkah, that same Habar ibn Aswad, who had done this to the daughter of Paul, he came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, "You have said and proclaimed that you offer amnesty and forgiveness for everyone." And he knew what he had done, and he knew the Prophet knew what he had done, and he asked him, "Even for me?" And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Even for you." He forgave the person who attacked his daughter and caused his daughter such terrible pain, and ultimately you could even say, in a sense, was his daughter's killer, because he struck the blow that led to the illness that eventually led her to pass away. Allahu Akbar. Then Ikrimah ibn Abi Jahl, this is the son of Abu Jahl. What happened in Fatih Makkah? So Ikrimah fled. The second the believers entered Makkah Mukarramah, he fled. Because he was also a general and he had this mentality that they will do to us. He did what we call qiyas on himself. He thought that they will do to us what we would have done to them if we conquered them. So they thought they were going to murder, pillage, Allahu Alam what he thought, so he fled. But then his wife came and she accepted Iman. And then she asked Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam that my husband Ikrimah, would you also forgive him? And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yes, you should go tell him. Bring him to me. Bring him to me, and if he wants, we can forgive him also. So she went out and she brought him. And then when she brought him, then the Prophet had deputed a Sahaba that let me know when they come back. So then the Sahaba came to the Prophet and told him that, oh, Ikrimah has come. But for the Sahaba Ikram, it was like seeing one of the greatest enemies enter into their midst. So he told Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ikrimah has come. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam got up and went out to greet him and do his istiqbal and said, "O rider, welcome, welcome to you. All is forgiven." He did istiqbal of Ikrimah. Allahu Akbar. Look at the forgiving nature of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Then Abu Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Ikrimah radiallahu ta'ala, look at these words. Ikrimah radiallahu ta'ala, Abu Sufyan, same thing. On the day of Fatih Makkah, not only he was the leader of the army of the unbelievers in the Battle of Ahzab. This is Abu Sufyan. On Fatih Makkah, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi forgave him and then announced that anybody who even enters the house of Abu Sufyan will be given sanctity and sanctuary. We declare his house sacred ground. Allahu Akbar Kabira. Ajib. Then another example. The wife of Abu Sufyan. One of the great examples of the forgiveness of Nabi Hind. What did she do? You know this, that she wanted to hurt the Prophet ﷺ. She didn't do it as a strategy of warfare. She wasn't interested in victory or defeat in the battle. She had one desire, which was to hurt the heart of the Prophet ﷺ. So she knew, and all of the people of Makkah Mukarramah knew, how much Nabi Kareem ﷺ, how dearly he loved his uncle Sayyidina Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So what did she do? She hired the Habashi assassin. She went and she paid an assassin. His name was Wahshi. And she told him, this is your job. You're going to go on the battlefield. You don't care about how the battle is going. You don't look at the war. You look at nothing else. I'm paying you and hiring you. I want you to kill the beloved uncle of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyidina Hamza. And not just that. Then when you kill him, I want you to go to his body and you cut open and take out his organs and bring them back to me. Allahu Akbar Kabira. And it happened like that. It happened that Wahshi went and his spear struck Sayyidina Hamza and he martyred Sayyidina Hamza radiallahu anhu, and then he went close and then he cut open the chest and mutilated the body of Sayyidina Hamza radiallahu anhu. Then he took out his organs and he took his liver, and that woman Hinda at that time, she ate the liver. According to some narrations, even she cannibalized Sayyidina Hamza radiallahu anhu. Allahu Akbar. Ajib. Look at this woman. However, even, and when Nabi Kareem came, and then he saw the mutilated body of Sayyidina Hamza comes in, he started weeping and weeping and weeping profusely at the sight of the mutilated body of his beloved uncle, Sayyidina Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu. But then what happened on Fatih Makkah? Hinda, she also came, wife of Abu Sufyan, asking for forgiveness, asking, can I also be forgiven and accept Iman? And Nabi Kareem said, you can also be forgiven if you accept Iman. So then she became Hinda radiallahu ta'ala anha. How would this have ever happened if it wasn't for the tahammul and hilm of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How would these people have been rescued from a potential eternal damnation if it hadn't been for the hilm and tahammul of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Look at this forgiving nature. Now you tell me that you were stuck, huh? I told you in the beginning you're feeling stubborn, you're stuck. You say you can't forgive so and so for what they did to you. Has anybody done anything to you like this? Has anybody done anything to you like this? Then Washi himself, same thing, Qatar Makkah, the assassin himself, he came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, asked, can I be forgiven? He said, yes, you can also be forgiven. But Ajibi told him one thing. He said that don't appear in front of me or hide your face when you come in front of me. Why? Because when I look at you, I will naturally remember that scene. I will again call up the memory of the mutilated corpse of Sayyidina Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Now listen how the muhaddiseen, arifeen explain this. Outwardly appears that but Nabi Akram Sallallahu rahmatullah alameen, he can overlook and pardon anything. Why did he tell Washi to cover his face or if he comes in front or to not come in front of all? So the arifeen, muhaddiseen explain this in a beautiful way. They said, actually Nabi Akram Sallallahu was perfectly fine with Washi. Perfectly loves Washi like he loved all of the Sahaba Ikram. But he knew that a human's emotions can be uncontrollable sometimes. He knew that if Washi came in front of him and he recognizes Washi, he will remember the incident. Now it won't make him angry at Washi, but it will make him sad. And he was scared that if Allah Ta'ala sees this, that whenever Washi comes, his beloved, Allah Ta'ala will see that my beloved Prophet is sad. He was scared lest Allah Ta'ala come in his jalal and lest something may slight even befall to Washi. So Washi's own sake, he told him that you should cover your face or not come in front of me. It was part of his being rahmatul alameen. The khair, the Nabi Sayyidina Washi spent his whole life like that, and then Nabi Kareem passed away. Can you imagine how hard it must be for a Sahaba not to come in front of the Prophet ﷺ or to come in front but to cover or veil your face? But he was also a lover. So when Nabi Kareem ﷺ passed away, Washi started making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That, Ya Allah, I want to do some type of tawbah. I want to make up for this thing that I did, that I hurt the Prophet's heart so much. I committed this crime, that I assassinated and mutilated beloved Sayyidina Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And he waited, and he kept making dua that Allah ta'ala gave him an opportunity. What happened in the Khilafat of Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu? There was a false claimant to prophethood, Musaylamah al-Kazzab. And Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq said that this false prophethood and this false movement and this false ideology, we must put an end to it. So Washi started making dua that, Ya Allah, once upon a time when I was a kafir, this hand was used to launch a spear that assassinated the beloved Sayyidina Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Now I see an opportunity for me to make this up. Ya Allah, I'm also going to go let this hand launch the spear that kills Musaylamah al-Kazzab. And Allah Ta'ala accepted this dua from him, and Allah Ta'ala gave him this sharaf, this honor, that he was the one who put an end to this false prophet. This is called tawbah. This is tawbah of sahaba. Even though they're forgiven because the second they took iman, you're forgiven for your past sins, but still he wanted, I have to make up for it, I have to compensate for it, I have to somehow in my life do as big a good deed as I did such a bad deed, and Allah Ta'ala accepted it from him. How did any of this happen? All of it happened because of the tahammul and hilm of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then there was a person called Uthman ibn Talha. He was the person who had been given even before Islam, the keys to Baytullah. The keys to Baytullah. So when Nabi Kareem sallam came at Fatih Makkah, he took the keys from him. And first he entered Kaaba. And he made nice, long, relaxed ibadah inside Kaaba. He made nice, long, relaxed inside ibadah. And then he came out, and all the Sahaba were anxious now that in the hand of the Prophet ﷺ is the keys to Kaaba. who is going to get the keys to Kaaba? You can imagine, I'm just going to imagine, you can imagine Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq's eyes would be open, Sayyidina Umar's eyes must be open, Sayyidina Usman, Sayyidina Ali's must be hopeful, then maybe the key will be given to us. Maybe the key will be given to us. But Nabiya Kareem Sassam called him and called him Usman. Oh Usman, come here. And what, do you remember the day that when I left Makkah Mukarramah for Hijrah, and I came to you and I asked, oh Usman, you have the keys to the Kaaba. And he didn't know they're making Hijrah, but I said, ask, I want you to open up the Kaaba. I just want to make Ibadah there and pray, and you refused me. And do you remember, Usman, that I told you that, Usman, one day you will be on that position and I will be on this position. I mean, today you have the key and I'm standing in front of you. There will come a day, Usman, that we will be standing in front of each other again, but it will not be in your hands in which is the key to the Kaaba. It is in my hands which is the key to the Kaaba. So he reminded him. He reminded him that it happened. They said, Usman, Allah Ta'ala has proven my words to be true. Today I have the keys to Baytullah, but I won't do to you what you did to me. So here, Usman, you take the keys to the Kaaba. Until the end of time, you and your lineage, still to this day, the Shaybi family, you and your lineage will be the caretakers and custodians of the keys of the Kaaba till the end of time. Idfa billati hiya ahsan. This is living sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So whether it's Fatih Makkah, whether it's all of these stories, and what did the Prophet announce at Fatih Makkah? The same thing that Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam said to his brothers, لا تثريب عليكم اليوم, that there will be no further questioning of you, no further grudges against you. We will never ask you anything after on this day. You will be absolute amnesty and forgiven. So look at the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And now compare that to us. We're so far from the Sunnah and Quran teachings of Tahammul and Hilm. We're not able to get along with other people. You have to understand that nobody's going to send angels for you to get along with. You're always going to have to get along with people. That's the nature of life. And those people will be imperfect. That's the nature of life. But we have the perfect deen to guide us how to manage these imperfect relationships. And the barakah of that perfect deen is we can make these into perfect relationships. Yes. It's not just the deen itself is perfection. The deen is perfect and has been revealed by Allah Ta'ala to bring about perfection in humanity. The deen has that power to make a husband and wife perfectly love each other. The deen has that power to make true brothers perfectly forgive each other. The deen has that power to make two people perfectly get along with each other. Why have we underestimated the deen? Why do you think it did? We don't have that power. I don't have that ability in my character. You don't have the ability in your character. But the deen has that ability. So if we open up our heart and character and make it according to deen, then all of these things will be taken care of. All of these things will be taken care of. So they say in English, and our Shaykh Hazri Dhan Barakatum, he loved this, you can say English proverb. I still remember when he first saw it in America, it was on a billboard. And ever since then, he loves to from time to time say it. What was the sentence? To run a big show, you need a big heart. To run a big show, you need a big heart. What does that mean? To have a big heart means to have this hilm and tahammul. To have this hilm and tahammul. Now we would just end with few stories from the awliyaullah. So you understand it's not just Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Sahaba who had this. So some nice stories from some of our awliyaullah, especially few from our area. So first was what we call Hazrat Khwaja Ganj Bakhsh Lahori Ram Tadai, great wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What was it about him? That it's a famous story that some of you may have heard, that once he was traveling, Ganj, he was traveling on a boat, and he had recently got what we call tind, halak. He had recently gotten his hair bald. So when he was sitting on the boat, what happened was that there was one young man and he started playing with his hair, because the people who, you know, you get the newly bald hair, it's a nice little buzz feel to it. So one young man started playing with him, then another man started playing with his head, then a lot of passengers on the boat started playing and making fun of him. He was just sitting there, just sitting there. He was just sitting there. So then it comes that Allah Ta'ala inspired his heart that, oh Ganj Bakhsh, if you want, we can overturn this ship. So then he said, Ya Allah, if you want to overturn something, overturn their hearts, don't overturn their ship. This is in English, let me do it now in Urdu. Ek awaz unke aaye ke, ae Ganj Bakhsh, agar tu chahta hai ke hum is kashti ko palat dete hain, کہ یا اللہ اگر آپ پلٹنے پر آ گئے تو ان کے دل کی کشتی کو پلٹ لیں. اللہ اکبر. And then the narration continues, Allahu alam, but these are the narrations that we've received, that when they reach shore, all of the passengers made tawbah to Allah Ta'ala, and then each and every one by one, became from the Salihin and Siddiqeen Mu'mineen. This is the tahammul and hilm. This is the du'as of people. So there's so many. Shaykh Ashraf Ali Thani bin Afzai writes that once there was a murid of his, and he wrote him, what? That his wife committed the ultimate betrayal. Infidelity. And he says, I came to know of this with a certainty. And at first, I felt in my heart that this is an unforgivable thing. But then I thought to myself, I thought to Allah Ta'ala that, Ya Allah, she is your slave. No matter what she did, she's still your creature. So Allah Ta'ala, by viewing her as your slave, I decide to forgive her. And I went to sleep, and I heard a voice in my dream. I saw a dream in which I heard a voice that, oh my slave, you viewed her as my slave and forgave her. I view as my slave and forgive you for all of your sins. It means in Urdu, he said that, mere dil mein ye socha ki ye phir bhi Allah Ta'ala ki bandi hai. To chalo Allah Ta'ala ki bandi hone ki khatir, main unko maaf kar deta hoon. تم خواب میں وہ پھر سو گئے پھر خواب میں نیند میں خواب میں ایک آواز ان کے کان میں آئے کہ اے دوست تو نے ان کو اب میرے بندے سمجھ کر معاف کر لیا میں نے تجھے میرے بندے سمجھ کر معاف کر لیا same thing I just said in English اللہ اکبر look at this now can you imagine that level of hilm and tahammul and this isn't centuries ago this is just 100 years ago and this is such an incredible crime such a major indiscretion so this is the way we should have tahammul and hilm. Then I'll give you a story even more recent. Our own Shaykh Hazrat Khwaja Ghulam Habib, Hazrat Murshid Alim Rahmatullah Alayh. One day in Ramadan, at the time of Fajr, and he was in his 80s at this time also, this story. He went to make wudu. Now it was the practice of his noble wife, may Allah Ta'ala have mercy on them both, that in this old age she would help him in wudu, she would assist in wudu by pouring the water. So he says, I was making wudu, and she was pouring the water, and at one point, maybe she fell a little asleep or whatever, so there was a delay in pouring the water. So I just looked up at her. I looked up at her because I wanted to proceed to the masjid. So she quickly then realized, and she started pouring the water. And I went to the home, and I've been to this khanqah many times. His home is very close to the masjid, right? Like a 2-minute walk, right next to each other. Door of the home opens on the gate of the masjid compound. Says I left. He says, as soon as I entered the masjid compound, I thought to myself, oh Ghulam Habib, you are going to do Imam at the Fajr Salah. Maybe that look you cast your wife may have hurt her heart. So I quickly called one of the students of knowledge, one of the talib, and told them to tell everybody to sit in the rows. I'm coming to lead Fajr Salah. And I went back home. When I went back home, my wife was surprised to see me back home. She said, but did you do Fajr Salah? And he said, yes, but I didn't feel it right to go. You know that look I gave you when you were pouring water? I wanted to come back and say sorry. Allahu Akbar Kabira. Ajeeb. Ammaji Ramtala used to narrate this incident. That I wanted to say sorry that I looked at you like that. I gave you a slight look of impatience when you were pouring the water. I couldn't, it wasn't, yani mera dil gawara nahi kar raha tha ki main fajr ki imamat karun. Aur shayad maine aapke dil ko thoda sa dukh pahunchaya ho. My heart was not accepting this, that I should go lead Fajr Salah after maybe possibly that look had hurt your heart slightly. These are called awliyaullah. These are called mu'mineen. These are called salihin. Allahu Akbar Kabira. This is why we sit with them. This is why we learn with them. This is why we make dua to Allah Ta'ala to accept this niyat that we have of kunu ma sadiqeen. So this is a precious pearl that we have, that we want to get this tahammul and this hilm in this month of Ramadan and these special last 10 days and nights of Ramadan. Why? Because we want Allah Ta'ala's hilm. We desperately need Allah Ta'ala to be haleem with us. Just like we began by saying, وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلِيمًا حَلِيمًا, that, Ya Allah, You know everything I did before this month of Ramadan. You know my whole life I lived before I came for these 10 days. You know everything I did before I set foot in this masjid on this night. You're عَلِيمًا, my life of sins and hypocrisy and betrayal is front of You. But You're also حَلِيمًا, Ya Allah. Up till now You didn't punish me. You kept letting me pray. You kept letting me outwardly appear pious. In fact, on this very night, You let me come into Your masjid. You're Haleem with me. Ya Rabbi Kareem, I want to embrace Your Hilm, and I want to have this Hilm with others, Ya Allah. I want to learn, Ya Rabbi Kareem, to forgive others as truly and as deeply as I want You to forgive me. I want to learn to, Ya Allah, not respond to the betrayal of others as perfectly as You didn't respond to the betrayals of me. So on this night we gathered to beg Allah Ta'ala for this Hilm, for this Tahammul, and to also make the resolution on this night that we're going to patch up with everyone, we're going to make up with everyone. Anytime anyone plots or schemes against us, we're going to try to return better to them. We're going to take the better path of sabr, because we'll get the hayat of Allah Ta'ala, we'll get the mahbubi of Allah Ta'ala. Everything we heard from the beginning, those verses of Quran, we want to make niyah of it tonight and beg Allah Ta'ala to give us the strength to be like that, and to remove our stubbornness, to remove our anger, to remove our reactiveness. And may Allah Ta'ala make us follow our sunnah, the sunnah of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to be like him in each and every way that he was. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Before I make dua for 5 minutes, Muraqabah, close your eyes, bow your head, disconnect yourself from the world and everything that it contains. Make niyat that, Ya Allah, I'm turning my heart in silent zikr to You. Ya Allah, You said in Quran, فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ. Ya Allah, this moment I'm remembering You when I'm in sukoon and I'm relaxed and I'm in aman and itminan in Your masjid. Ya Allah, I ask that You remember me when I'm in a difficult time, when I'm in a tested time, when I'm in a time of panic. Remember me at that time and send Your hidayah in my heart and guide me to have sabr, Ya Allah. Guide me to have hilm, Ya Allah. Guide me to have tahammul, Ya Allah. So right now, Ya Allah, when I'm free, I'm turning to You from the depth of my heart, the heart of my ruh, and make niyat that my spiritual heart is making dhikr of Your name, that my qalb is calling Allah, Allah, Allah. لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله من دعاء سبحان ربنا وحاب اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد ومبارك وسلم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين إنك أنت عليم حليم كريم رحيم يا الله. Ya Allah, Rabbi Kareem, You are the most kind and generous Rabb. Ya Allah, You know everything about us, Ya Allah. You know everything that we did. You know every failure that we have. You know every sin that our nafs has done. You know every sinful desire we have felt. Ya Allah, You know every single thing. Ya Allah, You were so Haleem, Ya Rabbi Kareem. You allowed us still to fast in Ramadan. You allowed us to pray in Ramadan. You brought us to the masjid in Ramadan. It is Your Hilm, Ya Allah. Your Karam and Fazl on us, Ya Allah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we are grateful for this, Ya Allah. We are unworthy of it, Ya Allah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we too want to follow the teachings of Quran and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Allah, put the tahammul in our heart, put hilm in our heart, make us strong, Ya Allah. Make us patient, Ya Allah. Protect us from every reaction, protect us from every panic, protect us from all planning. Ya Rabbi Kareem, let us always repel every evil with what is ahsan, what is better, Ya Allah. We are needy of that ayah, Ya Rabbi Kareem, that those who have enmity towards us, make them our friends, Ya Allah. Make them our close friends, Ya Allah. Let us ourselves be those people of ihsan who can win them over, Ya Rabbi Kareem. And Ya Allah, it is not for us to do so, but if you turn their hearts, Ya Allah, you inspire their hearts, Ya Allah. So Ya Allah, first we ask that you inspire our hearts, Ya Allah, to forgive everyone, to pardon everyone, to overlook everyone, to accommodate and tolerate everyone, to accept and bear with everyone. Ya Rabbi Kareem, it is a great hamal that you have put on us, this to bear the responsibility of being insan. Ya Allah, grant us the hilm to do this hamal. Grant us the hilm to do this hamal. Ya Allah, grant us the capacity to bear this responsibility. And Ya Rabbi Kareem, anybody whose heart we ourselves have hurt, Ya Allah, we ask your forgiveness for that. And Ya Allah, protect us from ever feeling any hasad ourselves. We don't want to be that hasid that you said in your eternal Quran. You told everyone to seek refuge from the shadow of that hasid. Ya Allah, protect us from ever being that hasid about whom you said, min sharri hasid. We don't want such a word to be connected to us, that we are evil, Ya Allah, that we are sinful, Ya Allah. Protect us from the hasid in ourselves. Protect us from the hasid in others. Protect us from the ill will in ourselves. Protect us from the ill will in others. Ya Rabbi Kareem, make us soft and gentle like Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Make us kind and forgiving like Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Allah, we ask that you patch up between the hearts of the husband and wives, between the brothers, between the sisters, between the in-laws, between the mother-in-law and daughter-in-law, between the sister-in-laws and the sister-in-laws. Ya Allah, we ask that you patch up all the family ties, mend the broken ties. Ya Allah, let us look beyond our petty quarrels. Let us go beyond our petty differences. Ya Rabbi Kareem, let us unite in love for you, in love for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in love for Deen of Islam, in fikr for the Ummah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, in love for all mu'mineen. Ya Allah, make this our asli sifat, our true sifat. Ya Allah, Ya Rabbi Kareem. And if ever in the past we did react on someone, we did punish someone, we did do something, let me ask your forgiveness, Ya Allah. We make tawbah from it, Ya Allah. Enable us to make it up to them, Ya Rabbi Kareem. Let us make it up to them, Ya Allah. If they're no longer in this world or somehow beyond our reach, then Ya Allah, send your special blessings on their heart. Send your blessings on their soul. You make it up for us, Ya Allah. You send so much karam and rahmat upon them that they will forgive us, Ya Rabbi Kareem. Ya Allah, it will be your kindness upon us. It will be your fazl upon us. It will be your karam upon us, Ya Allah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, grant each and every one of us all of the adab and akhlaq of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let us spend our life yearning for these adab, praying for these adab, working hard on our life to practice these adab. Ya Rabbi Kareem, anyone in any heart who's making tawbah from any sin, any sinful behavior, any sinful feeling, anyone in any heart who is praying to Ya Allah for any good feeling, any good behavior, grant all the requests of the heart. Grant all the du'as of those who are present and listening wherever they may be. And Ya Rabbi Kareem, let us always remember each other in our du'as. Let us always remember the ummah in our du'as. Ya Allah, and those of our ummah who are suffering from real oppression, real persecution, real hostility, real enmity, protect them, Ya Allah. Be their wali, Ya Allah. Be their wakil, Ya Allah. Be their muhafiz, Ya Allah. And accept us for their khidmat, Ya Allah. Accept us for khidmat of ummah and for khidmat of deen, Ya Rabbi Kareem. Rabbana takammal minna innaka antas samiul alim. Watubu alayna innaka antat tawabur rahim. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala habibihi Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.